Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right, so this is week three in a five-week series called Blind Spots. And what we've been doing for the last couple, well, we took a break last week. We had an awesome Mother's Day. If you guys were here for that, had a great time on Mother's Day. But for the 2 weeks leading up to that, we've been talking a little bit about how we all have blind spots. We all have areas of our life that we need to work on that we're not yet aware of. These are the things that everyone else knows about us, but that we don't yet know about ourselves. And if you're wondering, how can we work on our blind spots when we don't even know that they're there? The answer is, it's not easy. You have to work at it. You have to turn your head to see a blind spot. You have to begin by acknowledging the fact that you might have them. And most people, I mean, let's just be truthful, right? Most people, not only are they ignorant of their blind spots, most people are kind of in denial that they even could exist, right? Do you know somebody? The minute you begin to question them, the minute there's even a shadow of doubt as to their character or rightness, they reach right for their six guns and become defensive. Do you know somebody like that? Like just the minute there's even a hint, there's like, you know? And some of you are like, you're sitting next to that person now, and now it's awkward, but it's all right. You figure it out. We all have it in us to be defensive. We all have it in us to get defensive. And we often are in denial as to the fact that we even have blind spots. So if you're gonna face your blind spots, and don't you want to? I mean, come on, does anybody really want to go through life ignorant of their major faults? Does anyone want to go through life blind to what they're actually struggling with? I don't think so. I think we all want to know those things, but it's scary. It takes a little bit of guts. I'm just going to be truthful with you. It takes real courage to look at the areas of your life that you don't really want to maybe look into. I shared a couple weeks ago an incident that kind of happened with our church, an event a couple years back where I had a little bit of a disconnect with our staff over my leadership style. And if you weren't here, basically the deal was my perception of myself is that I'm the easiest guy in the world to talk to. I think, and this is still true of me, I still perceive myself to be the easiest person in the world to talk to. I'm affable and I have a good sense of humor and I know tons of movie quotes and we'll have a great time and we'll talk together. And so I mentioned this to our staff one time. I said, listen, you guys ever have an issue or something you want to talk about? My door is always open. I'm very easy to talk to. And one by one at the staff meeting, everyone around the table just went like this. And I was like, what? It totally caught me off guard. And they're like, you're not that easy to talk to. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, I am. And they basically said, dude, you're not that easy to talk to. You're very fast with your words, and you cut ideas down, and you cut people down if you don't like them. And so, and you do both of those things, and you need to work on that a little bit. Now, they didn't say it exactly like that, but that was what came out. I would have been rough if they said it like that. But that was what came out, right? That was what I heard, and I didn't want to hear it. When they were done saying it, I was like, shut up. No, I'm in denial. Like, I literally walked home and went home and was like, I don't even want to talk about this. It hurt to even to acknowledge the very possibility that my self-perception could be so far askew. That was not easy. Because I really, and I still struggle with this to this day. I still think I'm the easiest person in the world to talk to, and other people, our staff, others around me are like, dude, it can be intimidating. If we disagree with you, there's the fear that you're going to. I'm working on it, and I'm trying, but man, in that moment, I had to face up to some kind of yucky stuff about myself. And that led to other things, other similar things. A couple of years after that, we kind of came to a point in our church where my leadership style just wasn't getting it done anymore. And we were having a lot of friction and a lot of disconnection on our staff. Most of that is because I'm a sinful, flawed, messed up, like jacked up person. But some of it was just growing pains because when you lead a church, the way you lead a church, and if you're new, I introduce myself each week and I say, hi, I'm Bert, I'm one of the pastors here. That is true. it is also true that I'm the lead pastor here, which means in some strange, weird, churchy sense of the word, I'm kind of the boss when it comes to the staff and the major decisions around here. So the way you lead a church when you're a church of 200 or 300, which is where we began, is very different than the way you have to lead a church when it gets to 1,500 or 1,600, which is where we are now. And they don't teach you any of that in seminary. Like, you just have to figure it out, right? So in the middle of some serious growing pains, my leadership style wasn't getting it done, and we were having a lot of friction on our staff, and I had to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with everybody, and I basically said, look, there's some stuff going wrong around here. There's some friction. It's all my fault, and I need your help to see it. Like, there are things about me that I know are there, but I don't quite have a grip on them. And I literally just asked our staff for help, and I said, we are in 3 days going to meet. We're going to sit down at the conference table. I'm going to leave my 6 guns in the car. No defensiveness. I'm just going to put an umbrella of grace over the whole table, and I'm going to give you a forum to say what you always wanted to say to me. With no fear of consequence, I just want you to tell me the truth. Don't you wish your boss would do that for you? You'd say a few things, wouldn't you? Yeah? Right? So I said, listen, we're all going to meet. You're all going to tell me the truth. And to help the process along, because I know this isn't easy, you have to answer 4 questions. I made everybody on our staff answer 4 questions. What's the one thing that I do that you hate when I do? What's the one thing that I never do that you wish I would start doing? What's the hardest thing about working with me and for me? And what do you think I'm going to need to lead this organization into its next chapter? I need answers to all 4 of those questions from every one of you. And we sat at a table right on the other side of that wall. I recorded it, captured 3 hours of audio. It was hands down the most difficult 3 hours of my life. And they were loving. Our staff was so caring. They were gentle with me. They were in my corner. They were rooting for me. They were kind. But man, what they said to me hurt because I didn't see it. Because I had some significant blind spots that needed to be addressed that I wouldn't have been able to address without the help of some other people around me who cared enough about me to tell me the truth. So what I want to know from you as we begin this morning is this. Would you have the courage, would you have the guts to ask some people around you for help? Because sometimes your eyes might not be enough to see your blind spots. How would it go today if after church you went out to lunch with your spouse and said, honey, what do you think is my biggest blind spot? Try that. Half the church will be in therapy next week. It'd be awesome. Okay, so... Or maybe your children, maybe you need to say, if the person you want to ask is in church, you already understand the whole blind spots thing, you have a shorthand already because you're hearing this, but maybe you need to ask your spouse or your coworker or your brother or your friend or your whoever, what is true of me that I don't yet know? Is there any place, like how do you interpret me? How do you experience me? Do I have any blind spots? Ask those questions, ask for some help, and have the courage to face up to that stuff. I didn't tell you that story so you'll think, wow, Bert, that was so good. You're such a good, I'm not doing that. I'm just doing that to let you know, like I'm broken and messed up and jacked up. I'm a professional Christian, okay? This is what I do for a living. I'm a Christian for a living. It's my job to be a Christian, right? And I struggle with this. We're all gonna struggle with this. With seeing our blind spots. I needed and continue to need a ton of help to see where I fall short. So in some ways it's very obvious where I fall short, but there's other places that are just in my blind spots that I'm not aware of. And the biggest obstacle to us seeing our blind spots and acknowledging our blind spots is the blind spot we're going to talk about today, and that's insecurity. Now we all struggle with insecurity, yes? We all wrestle with insecurity. Insecurity is the perception that there's something about you that is lacking. And I know there's a few of you here, and you walked in the door today, and you're like, I don't struggle with any insecurity. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm good, you know? And I'm so sorry to just bring you bad news, but I have bad news for you. You have a ton of insecurity. It's just that it's in your blind spot. You don't know about it consciously. It's right behind you. You just haven't looked at it yet. It's going to take a little courage. It's going to take a little guts to turn that around. We need to pray some prayers like the one we find in Psalm 139 where the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my mind. And if there's any way in me that's offensive to you, pull me to yourself. That's a wide open prayer. I want our church to pray some wide open prayers. Just, God, I'm wide open. I want you to see every room. I want you to look under the porch. I want you to look in the attic. I want you to look in the crawl spaces. I want to know what's in every dark corner of my life, and I want you to help me see it. I'm hoping you guys will pray some prayers like that today and in this series, that we might all come to understand where our blind spots are. Now, if you don't believe me when I tell you that insecurity is kind of a prime motivator for our culture right now, if you don't believe me, all you have to do is open up Facebook, right? Open up Facebook, you will see human insecurity at work, right? Because everybody on Facebook is trying to make everybody else think that their life is fabulous, yes? That's what's going on right now. And I'm not on Facebook. I took mine down a year and a half ago. Maybe it won't be down forever, but for a year and a half now, I've been very happy without it. But the last time I looked, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed, it was a ton of like political ranting and pontificating. And then it was a ton of people like just trying to make everybody else think that their life was awesome. And you can always tell when someone has a circle of friends and they put something up because they want to share something with their circle of friends versus a person who's really just posturing and trying to make everyone else jealous by how great their life is. And we do stuff like that. It comes out in our social media use. It comes out in our speech. It comes out in how we carry ourselves and handle ourselves because of the following principle. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So when you are insecure, when you've got insecurity kind of baked into the equation, when there's something inside of you, and for many of us, it goes back decades. For many of us, this comes back to childhood. Right? You perceived yourself to lack something when you were younger. So now you're insecure. You carry an insecurity. Somebody lied to you or told you something about yourself, and now you walk the earth. And some of you have no idea what it is, right? Some of you are like, I'm not insecure. I'm fine. All your insecurities are in your blind spot. Others of you, you know exactly what you're insecure about. You know precisely what I'm talking about. You're here and you're like, you're insecure about your body. That's a big one, right? You're insecure. Not your body is big, but that's a big insecurity, right? That's a big insecurity. We're worried if we're overweight or underweight, or if we our hair, our teeth, our skin, what we our clothing, where we work, our job status, whether we're employed, where we're employed, our marital status, our dating status, our Facebook status, our status, right? How other people perceive us. These insecurities get stirred up and they manifest themselves in worry, concern, right? And what occurs for most people when insecurities are stirred up, generally we do one of two things. We either put ourselves down or we put others down, yes? When we're insecure, we either put ourselves down or we put others down. And either way, whether we're putting ourselves down or whether we're putting others down, we are manifesting in some way anxiety. We're manifesting insecurity. It comes out in our speech. It comes out in our temper. It comes out in our behavior because the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Apostle Paul says this in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and be thankful. Gang, listen to this. Thankfulness is like kryptonite for insecurity. Thankfulness makes insecurity just shrivel up and vanish. When we are thankful, right? When you think about it for a minute, when you're feeling insecure, and I know if it's subconscious, you can't think about being insecure because you're not aware yet that you are. But for those of you who know what your insecurities are, when you're feeling insecure, if you can turn that around and start going, God, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for who I am. Thank you for what I have. All of a sudden, you stop being inward bound and you start being outward bound. Everybody with me? You stop being all about you. Thankfulness turns that around. And then it says, the peace of God will guard your heart. Do you like the idea that there's like something guarding your heart? Wouldn't it be cool to just have something like, hi, I'm a guard. I'm a fully armed guard. My job is to guard your heart. Nothing bad gets in there from now on. That's what's up. The peace of God will guard your heart. The peace of God will stand outside your heart so that insecurity can go, but can't come in. Follow? That's what happens when we become thankful, when we connect with God that way. And then Jesus says this, Matthew 6, verse 24, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So this is Jesus going, come on, you're being motivated in many ways by aggression. You're being motivated by aggression towards yourself or aggression towards others. Insecurity is manifesting itself in outward behavior. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So in comes out. That's how this works. So you're putting yourself down and you're putting others down. You're taking it out on yourself. You're taking it out on your coworkers. You're taking it out on your neighbors. You're taking it out on your spouses. You're taking it out on your children. Because the insecurity is manifesting itself. It's coming out. And now you have kids that you can push around, that you can dominate. That insecurity manifests itself in the way you treat them. And every time you do, you hate yourself a little more. You know something's broken. You know something's wrong. You've never given a name to it. It's silent. It's quiet. You try your best not to think about it. It's right behind you in your blind spot. Only the peace of Christ can vanquish it. Only the knowledge of not who you are, but whose you are can vanquish that. It's not just knowing who you are, it's knowing whose you are, finding your identity in Christ. A couple summers ago, we did a message series called The Gospel According to Pixar. Anybody seen, everybody remember that? You guys remember that? Raise your hand, you guys all see Toy Story? Raise your hand if you have not seen the movie Toy Story. Raise your hand if you've not seen it. Ma'am, you might not be a Christian. I'm sorry. It is a salvation issue, okay? Please go watch the film. Just kidding. But not really, watch it. Okay, so you've all seen Toy Story, you get it, right? Now here's the deal with Toy Story. When Toy Story opens, we are shown Andy's room, Andy's bedroom. Andy has toys, there are all millions of toys, right? He's got Bo Peep tied to some train tracks. He's got like a slinky dog that's the bad guy, and he's got a villain that's a Tyrannosaurus, and he's got all these, he's somehow made all these toys form into this world, and Andy leaves the room, and we are given a clinic on insecurity. We're shown what insecurity at work looks like because all these toys, their whole deal, all the toys in Andy's room, they take their whole sense of well-being and okayness from Andy, right? The fact that he loves them, he cherishes them, he plays with them, that's their be-all, end-all of existence, that they are loved and they are valued by Andy. But what happens right at the beginning of the movie is a toy's worst nightmare. Andy's birthday is coming. And that means new toys might enter the bedroom, and that means that they might be discarded. They might be thrown under the bed. They might be no longer loved as much or played with as much, and that rattles them to their core, and so they have a staff meeting. Woody, the alpha toy, right, sets up a staff meeting, and they dispatch the Green Army men with walkie-talkies to go down and hide in the planter and find out what's going on. They're reporting back to everybody in the bedroom, and remember this, right? The Green Army men are like, okay, here comes the next toy. It's a big one. It's big. They're unwrapping it. It's bed sheets. You know, and the guys in the bedroom are like, bed sheets? Who invited that kid? Remember that whole deal? right? So all the toys are all freaked out. They're all worried because maybe a new toy is going to come in and take their place, and maybe they won't be as loved as much, and maybe they won't be used as much, and maybe they won't be as relevant, and maybe they won't be okay. It's silly, is it not? Do you wonder why grown-ups like those movies as much as kids do? Have you ever wondered that? Because these things speak to our hearts as well. These insecurities are still with us. You don't worry the way a toy would worry, but maybe you know what it's like when a younger coworker is promoted and you are not. Maybe you know what it feels like when someone attractive pays attention to your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend and you begin to worry if you're enough. Maybe you know what it feels like to open up social media and see that a few of your friends got together and didn't invite you. You know what insecurity feels like. You just try not to think about it. Somewhere in the mix, somewhere in the living of our lives, we forget whose we are. And when we forget that God has sealed us with his thumbprint, that he's claimed us as his own, insecurity wins the day. And we then begin to live our lives motivated primarily by it. It hangs out in our blind spot. It doesn't ever make itself known right out in front. It just influences everything else so that if we don't address it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't have the courage to look it in the face, we will walk the earth in need of validation. And every time you go to work, it'll be another opportunity for you to hopefully earn some approval or climb the ladder to meet some need in yourself. Every time you go to a party or a family gathering or a social gathering or a softball game or a bowling league thing or whatever it is you go to, every time you interact with another human, you will on some subconscious level be using that person to meet a need in yourself. And you'll never know the joy of walking into a room and going, who do I need to encourage today? Who could I be a blessing to in this room? How could God use me in this moment to make somebody else's life better? Your whole life will just be all about you, sucking resources inward, ever consuming and ever empty like a black hole, a bottomless pit of insecurity that eats and eats and eats and is never full. Nobody wants to live like that. So what is required of us? What must happen next? We must be a people that stop saying mine, 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 and start saying his, his. I'm his. I'm not my own. I don't live for me anymore. It's not going to be all about me. All about me is a trap. All about me is a bottomless pit. All about me is a black hole that will never, ever, ever be satisfied. Only when you know fully, not just who you are, but whose you are. His. Will you know your true identity? Will you be able to see those insecurities and go, yep, I got some stuff to work on, but God still loves me. And if you want to make some changes, knock yourself out. You want to lose a few pounds? Go to the gym. You want to change your hair color? Go for it. Your teeth are yellow? Use whitening strips. We'll all thank you for it. That's great. Rock on with your bad self. You want to make some changes? Go for it. But make those changes knowing that you are loved, not in an effort to acquire love. Make those changes knowing that God sees you now and connects with you and loves you, not in an effort to earn that. Only when we make our beginning in Christ and say, I'm his, I lack nothing in him, are we able to live our lives outward bound and make it our intention to be a blessing to others. I hope every single one of you will know that joy. And if you're curious, if you're wondering about whether or not you have some blind spots, seek some help from somebody else. Take a look at your own social media postings. Look at how the world around you interacts with you. You'll see evidence of it because the mouth speaks what the heart is full of every time. I'm hoping you guys, me, I need it too. I hope we all together will be a people who have courage enough to face what's in our blind spots and live our lives. Enough is enough with the mine. I want to live my life saying His. And I hope we can be a church that is not known for insecurity, but known for how it will be a blessing to others. That only starts when we as individuals and as a church live our lives outward bound, not inward, not mine, but His. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do. And we thank you for this truth, even though it's hard. We don't want to hear it, Father. We would much prefer to remain ignorant of these things. It's far more comfortable when these things remain squarely in our blind spot so that we don't have to address them. But Father, you're teaching us, you show us in your word that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, and we are seeing some evidence in our life of some dark things in our hearts. So we're praying for help. Help us see our blind spots. Give us courage enough to know when we have some things to work on. And Father, will you cause us, will you create faith in us to live our lives knowing not just who we are, but whose we are. In Jesus' name, amen.